Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat. Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. I'm Manoj Keval Ramani, and today I have with me my colleague Suyash Desai, and we have a special guest with us, veteran journalist and editor and member of parliament today, Kumar Ketkar, joining us to talk about the state of the Indian media. So let me begin with a very general question before we then go into specifics and try and talk about what should be done with regard to the Indian media. What should be the role of the government? Should there be any regulation, given that there is so much talk about the need for regulation? And what should be the case of how do we manage social media and so on and so forth? And you bring a unique perspective to this as somebody who's been in the media and now somebody who's a lawmaker who's also looking at what sort of policies we should be having. So firstly, I want a general sense of how do we look at the state of the Indian media? It's so polarized, so noisy, so chaotic. More noise, less information. How do you sort of assess the state of the Indian media after you've been in this profession for so many decades together?
Well, actually, state of the media today is extremely volatile in the sense you cannot define it, you cannot pinpoint the actual state of the media. Because when we say media, the term is plural actually, which is plural of medium. And we have such a vast media because some of the observations that we make about media in general, when you talk about state of the media, may not apply, for instance, to say Tamil local media or Marathi local media.
Yes.
Or may not apply to Bengali local media. At the same time, the general impression is that when we talk about any policies, we essentially talk about the English media.
Yeah.
Be they television channels or be they newspapers. Essentially, the impression gathered by many people is that the English press and the English TV channels define the state of the media, and they define also the goals and the policy debates, agenda setting. I think that is also quite disproportionate importance given to English media. And that is because English happens to be the lingua franca of the policy makers and at the state as well as central level. English medium reaches simultaneously to Tamil Nadu as well as to Kashmir, from Gujarat to everywhere, Rajasthan to Bengal. And that's how the impression is that English media defines the agenda, defines the goal and the goal posts. I think that is quite incorrect. Therefore, to say about state of the media, referring only to the dominant English media, dominant only in the context of reach, not dominant in the context of actual access, in the sense that there are only 15% English-speaking writing people in the country. And yet, speaking, writing, reading public so small, 15% is less than about 20 crores and 130 crore population. Of that, a very few people actually look at television, or English television that is, and read newspapers, English newspapers. Of them, how many people read the news and the views? How many people attend to the panel debates and how many people attend to the news? The number becomes extremely minuscule. And yet, unfortunately, the television anchors with whom I have dealt for long, television anchors feel that they are actually in charge. In fact, quite a few anchors are there who feel that they are more important than the information broadcasting minister or even a prime minister. But actually what happens is many of the anchors and many of the television channels try always to bring government on their platform rather than actually questioning the government on what they are doing. As a result, what has happened is we have created a new kind of embedded journalism. And embedded journalism essentially tries to propagate or defend the policies of the government. And in today's world, it is not policies of the government as such, but policies of the Prime Minister and the BJP President. As a result, what happens is debate, what you see on channels conducted by the panels, are limited only to those subjects and themes which are defined by these two persons. Not even the entire cabinet. I have grown in the media for last almost 50 years when there was no television at all. When I joined journalism, there was no television except briefly black and white television, Doordarshan, which used to have only 2 hours of transmission.
Yeah.
So I have grown from that. And today, the word media incorporates so much of newspapers, so much of social media, so much of TV media.
Yeah.
In fact, we don't even quickly recognize that Twitter and Facebook are just a decade old.
Yeah.
And yet today, many of the policies are announced by the Prime Minister on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think that is quite absurd because it does not generate debate. It does not help debate. It only gives out a certain line of the Prime Minister, how he thinks, and as a result, all media follows that line.
Yeah.
So I think instead of media helping democratic process, it is curbing democratic process. Unfortunately, this is a situation.
So we'll get into that. My first sort of question to you is, because I teach part of us, the courses that we run, I teach a particular course on media engagement for public policy professionals. And one of the questions that I constantly get asked, and I try to distill this from a framework academia point of view, the question that I keep getting asked is, well, what is the role of the media? Is the role of the media, and let's look at news media as a broad thing, whether it's on social media or whether you are on in print or whether you're on television or radio. Is the media's job to inform, educate, highlight, question? Or is the media's job also to provide solutions? Because constantly what happens is that the nature of debate in India is, again, so noisy that people end up saying, well, okay, now we've all identified the problem, but where is the solution? So is the media's job to look at solutions, provide solutions, or is the media's job to provide information in a fair, unbiased manner and let people decide what they want to? The media is not the policymaker, right?
Well, actually, media's job is to help policymaking, not give solutions. So inform and inquire and sometimes investigate. This should be the role of the media. But what has happened is, instead of informing, inquiring, or investigating, they do all the things selectively. They do not inquire into all the aspects. They do not inform about all the aspects. They have a kind of self-censorship. Often the owners are blamed. Owners, of course, need to be blamed because there's corporate ownership of majority of the media. And those corporates define what should go and what should not go in. And that is a dangerous trend. We do not have newspapers created, run, owned by newspaper types.
Yeah.
For instance, let us say, I mean, I don't want to compare directly, but something like New York Times is neither governed by the government nor governed by any other private sector business.
Yeah.
New York Times is governed by New York Times. I'm not saying New York Times is ideal in every respect, because New York Times also has gone wrong several times and has even misinformed, has even not done proper inquiries. But by and large, if I take New York Times as among the better ones, then the reference point in India is, as far as concerned, the media today is quite not educated adequately on the subjects they deliver in the newspapers or on television. There's so many subjects which have now, you know, pervading our social life.
Yeah.
But they do not have either expertise or have enough reporting skills on those various subjects. Then they are constrained by the finance. And that finance comes from those corporates or the government.
So why do you think this lack of expertise and skills has taken place? Is it finance is just a part of it? Or is it also the case of you are catering to a consumer which is possibly not necessarily as interested? Is that the case?
No.
Or is it the case that the media is setting a narrative in a certain way?
No, I don't think I can blame consumer. Take me as an ideal consumer. Why am I ideal consumer? Because I read newspapers every day. I do not have any view. I do not have any specific understanding of what I am being read. But what I am told to read or see is determined by somebody else. There is no role for the consumer or customer in you know, actually taking a hand into all that. As a result, what happens, majority of the customers or consumers, whatever you call, or readers or viewers, are basically passive in reception. They are active in their mind, they're angry, they're happy, whatever, while reading or while viewing. But essentially, their reception of the news or views is essentially passive. They are not participants. No media can be completely participant. And now, to quote Marshall McLuhan, medium becomes the message. Now, the moment you know which channel you are watching or which newspaper you are reading, you are aware of the entire ecosystem, as it were. And that ecosystem tells you what to look for or what you're going to get. The question that is important in this issue of state of the media is, the media must generate inquiry, must generate interest of the customers, as you call them, viewers or readers. That is not happening.
Yeah.
As a result, the media persons or those who call themselves journalists, they themselves are not adequately curious about the issues they are dealing with. So they also work, sorry to say, I have been a journalist myself 45 years, but sorry to say, a large number of journalists work as kind of a simple clerical profession and not inquiring profession, not curious profession. Of course, there are very good people. I'm not saying exceptions. There are genuinely good number of journalists who are actually doing a good job or wanting to do a good job.
Yeah.
But finally, when you ask state of the media, unbalanced state of the media is honestly pathetic.
Yeah. No, I mean, I sort of take your point very well. Being about 13, 14 years into the business, well short of your experience, but being 13, 14 years into the business, I also feel a sense that, yes, a lot of it becomes of manual repetition as opposed to application of thought after a certain point in time. That's how the business is becoming structured as it becomes more corporatized. Suyash.
Sir, you have talked about media models. You gave an example of New York Times model. In India...
Or I can give Economist. London Economist. Or I can give New Yorker. I mean, New Yorker is a magazine. London Economist is a weekly. Or Le Monde Guardian. They are also weekly. I can give those examples. New York Times I just mentioned as...
One of the examples that you gave. So in India, the dominant discussion, one is the current model in which corporates or many corporates come together or a day rule. The second dominant model is which P. Sinat talks about. It is an alternative media, people coming together, pooling their resources and then forming a media. How legitimate is that model and what are the challenges in front of that? Is the alternative model which is in discussion in India. And how legitimate can this model be?
This is not in discussion now. This was actually practiced in the 1960s. Some journalists came together to actually start a newspaper. And they started a newspaper that was later converted into a weekly. But there was this effort. What was happening was the revenue is required essentially not only for creating news and views, but also distributing them. Distribution is a hugely expensive affair because you have to reach so many people, so many places, at least some minimum places and minimum customers or viewers or readers. Now, this is being attempted by web channel news groups. They are started by newspaper journalists and they are running well. But even then, they have not reached the entire spectrum. That spectrum is considerably vacant, in fact. But that effort is not new. I mean, the effort suggested by Sinat is not new. I am aware of Sinat's proposal. But it has not yet taken off in the regular media sense, that is television or print media sense. On web, it has started. It has been working, but they are also struggling. I know all the web channels in media, they are struggling and working very hard to get revenue.
Sir, but I have some problems with the model that has been proposed. Wouldn't a same group of people coming together give an ideological shape to the newspaper? Okay, I understand about news channel, but for a mainstream newspaper to be ideologically shaped, I understand that nothing is free from biases. Every editor has an opinion and that reflects in the editorial stance that the newspaper takes. But it is on certain issues. Would that be reflective in the coverage of news as well? How does that this model...
Yeah, often it gets reflected even in the news coverage because ultimately when you give a headline, you choose from about 10 news items. So you are already selective. In that also there can be a bias. Newspaper by definition cannot be absolutely free. That's, according to me, not even romantic or utopian. That is absurd. Absolutely free is not there. What is required is reasonable amount of multiple views and multiple angles of news are presented properly. And there can be editors. I know of the editors who actually allowed their newspapers to have multiple views and multiple news appearing in the newspapers, while their particular ideological viewpoint was different. There are quite a few editors, particularly in the 60s and 70s, who did not influence the news according to their ideology or views, articles according to their ideology. They allowed, you know, 100 flowers to bloom, to quote Mao Zedong. So now that is not impossible. Of course, there will be a bias, but that does not mean that we should be, you know, completely constrained by that bias. Despite that bias, we can be very broad. We can be extremely large-hearted. We can be actually generous to multiple views. And we can actually have more readers contributing, more intelligent readers contributing, even if those readers are hostile to your position, to your view. And I think that is not really impossible. that in this particular model, it may be impossible because of revenue. But in general media, it is not impossible. It has worked. It has worked in India. It has worked in Free India. There were papers in the market at that time. Even Times of India at one point of time, Indian Express at another point of time, they were actually Telegraph Today, Hindu. They have actually participated on a larger debate and not necessarily brought their ideological viewpoint. All of them had and have ideological viewpoint. All of them have their biases. That is inevitable. I would not say that they are absolute ideals, but it is possible to have multiple views, multiple dimensions, multiple levels of inquiry into the newspapers and have multiple readers contributing to it, questioning it.
So I have two questions. I'm going to go by one. The first is, what is your thought on things like paid news? And should what sort of regulation should be there when it comes to paid news? This is essentially news coverage which is being paid for, and the piece or the video or whatever is being presented as genuinely a genuinely journalistic product, whereas actually it has been paid for, and that paid for bit is not reflected. I'm defining it as simply as that. And linked to that is the idea of an advertorial by a foreign government, an embassy or things like that. For example, there's a lot of controversy in the US and the West about, you know, the Chinese dailies putting in their supplements in the Telegraph, in the Independent, in American papers. There's lots of the Chinese embassy here tends to put in, pages in newspapers once in a while, in India also. And some of these papers call the Dalai Lama separatist. So this is an Indian paper which is carrying an insert from a Chinese embassy which says separatist activities in Tibet should be suppressed and things like that. Are you okay with things like this till they are marked as advertorials, or is this just a no-no in certain cases?
Well, actually, it's a very interesting position, because North Korea used to have something like 8 or 10 pages of North Korean and huge advertisements which nobody read. They were about North Korea. Huge, absolutely huge. They were small print, nobody could read. There was no word mentioned advertorial. It was obviously advertorial. Saudi Arabia does it. Every single country does it. Forget countries. Every single state does it. Even when Uttar Pradesh is facing such a huge crisis, sociological, psychological, political, cultural, religious, fundamental, all kinds of crises are there in UP. And UP has huge advertisements about great success your Uttar Pradesh is. So it is not only China, North Korea, or Saudi Arabia. It is also within India, the states which are not doing well also advertising that they are doing well. So that's also editorial. Then there is another editorial. You know, I'll introduce to you another term. It is not advertorial, actually. It is advertisement. It is described unnecessarily as advertorial. And one of my cynical editors once mentioned, Mr. Ketkar, in our newspaper there are these advertisements on the right side, unique position advertisements, and there are these news items which are different types of advertisements. And he used to say that both are advertisements, but for one advertisement which is on the left side, we pay the reporter to get the advertisement, and here they pay us. So actually, for this advertisement, we pay, and for this advertisement, they pay. That was a cynical approach, nevertheless. But point is, sometimes it becomes like that. And often, paid news does not come as paid news, like this is pay and this is news. It comes in various formats. And at point of time, it is a journalist's personal honesty integrity is involved, or sometimes not even personal integrity honesty, sometimes he's influenced wrongly. He has been misled, and what he publishes is sometimes wrong, or actually is going to help somebody. That also becomes paid news, but that paid news out of honesty and integrity but getting misled, and the paid news which is actually paid in the various form. It is not paid as such cash and news. It is in various forms. It can be influencing a journalist by, even governments offered journalists many a times houses and loans and whatever. So all, it is very difficult to.
So do you think the state should regulate this stuff or not?
How can you regulate? I mean, they tried. Press Council tried, Press Council recommended, Press Council indicted some journalists for publishing paid news. Nothing could happen, nothing. I will not say nothing can happen, but ultimately it is not the owners alone or the governments, but journalists' own personal honesty and integrity that will define the profession, not only owners. Owners can suppose say, I am giving you full freedom. Owners give full freedom and the journalists misuse it. then who is to be blamed? Not the owners.
Yeah.
So I think what is required is that personal honesty and integrity. Sorry to quote Mahatma Gandhi for this. Hmm. But Mahatma Gandhi's honesty and integrity may not be necessarily achievable aim for many of the journalists. But I think somewhere at least.
Yeah.
But today we find in media, more than owners and government, even the media persons are involved, conniving. And therefore, if the media is in pathetic state, it is not only because of owners, though I will say owners and government are primarily responsible.
Okay.
But secondary responsibility is with the media person himself or herself.
Sir, right now we are based on advertisement model because the subscription, basically for newspapers and news channels, subscription cannot fund a news organization. We hardly have newspaper for 4, 5, 6 rupees. What is the problem right now? What is happening with newsreel? Newsreel is getting expensive and that is having an impact on newspaper. What is the problem with the print industry right now? At one hand, we are seeing that in spite of people saying that print is going to fall, but it is increasing, especially in Hindi heartland. The readership is increasing. But at the same time, newsreel is charged excessively and that is taking a toll on business. How does this dynamic happen?
Well, it will get advertisement subsidy will be required. Mm-hmm. Let us not delude ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whether that advertisement should influence your news coverage is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Advertisements will be required to subsidize the newspaper. That is a fact. Otherwise, you will have to approach by and large like BBC.
Mm-hmm.
BBC is not governed by advertisements. To a great extent, London Economist.
Mm-hmm.
It is not governed by the advertisers. It is not subsidized by the advertisers. Or take New Yorker, which I mentioned earlier. It is not governed or subsidized by the advertisers or by the owners' extra money channels. Therefore, it is distinctly possible that though there are advertisements, they do not necessarily influence your writing or your views. I think that is not completely impossible. But for revenue model, it is necessary that something comes to support the newspaper.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is impossible to circulate this paper.
I'm going to ask the last question of this conversation and we'll then wrap it up. I wanted your take. You spoke about social media and web channels and them sort of achieving scale because there is a possibility of reaching a larger audience through that format. And also the cost might be diminished with some things like that. At the same time, the internet has created a very violently contested information space. It's far more difficult today to know what is the truth, what is not the truth. It's very easy to forge things, not just forge documents, but videos. And the thing of deep fakes and these sorts of things can actually create a far more contested and difficult ecosystem. A lot of the, about a decade ago, I remember when I was still fairly new in the field in journalism, we were told that social media will make editors irrelevant. Today, given the potential for these fake news aspect to become far more problematic, its editors are far more relevant today than they should have been. Or at least it was thought about a decade ago. What is your take on the social media information contestation? And how do you think, should there be regulation in that space? Should that be governed? Or is that a free marketplace and let it just play out as it is playing out?
Well, actually, let me play cynical or pessimistic game. Social media will make media irrelevant. Because nobody trusts social media. The moment they see something on the social media, they want to get it reconfirmed from TV or from press or from other social media channel.
Yes.
As a result, what has happened is skepticism has grown, suspicion has grown, and people take media now not as information base, but as entertainment base on the one hand, and to sustain their prejudice, to endorse their prejudice, to endorse their hatred. Or all that is being, so basically social media has gone into endorsement game. I have a certain view, so I will not read on social media something which is completely hostile to it.
Yeah.
So basically I am promoting my own clan. And social media today, you know, various channels there are, people say, it was published by them. I know what they'll say. And so they will just ignore it.
Yeah.
As a result, social media is making even social media irrelevant. And television is making television media irrelevant. Panels, nowadays very few people watch. Who will watch for 2 hours news hour debates?
Yeah.
I have participated, I'm sorry to say. I have participated and never felt unduly proud about it. Because I know people, 0.5% people listen to the panel discussions. You feel you are greatly, you know, challenging somebody's position. Nothing happens. It has no impact on the universe. And yet, so panels have made television journalism meaningless. Newspapers, by their behavior, have made newspapers meaningless. Social media, does that mean that all of them will die? No. People need entertainment. People need feeling that they are informed. Even if they are misinformed, for them, it is they are informed.
Yeah.
So as a result, that connectivity with the social media, social groupings, their clubs, and those clubs, those pavilions, actually help each other connect up to a point. But essentially, what social media has done is to generate and promote echo chambers. But earlier, echo chambers were considered only part of social media. Today, even newspapers and televisions have become echo chambers. As a result, media, state of the media globally, not only here, but here it is particularly so. So we talk about Chinese media controlled. Here also we are controlled by different kind of forces. And therefore, it is not only Chinese media is controlled. It is not only capitalist media is controlled. It is media is also controlled within. And therefore, media is a useful and a completely useless tool for communication. And therefore, medium is the message. And Marshall McLuhan was absolutely right. A time will come when this global village will finally prefer to have a direct contact rather than through the medium.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Ketkar. Thank you so much, Suyash. And for all of you who are listening, particularly people who are interested in media studies and journalism, who want to seek a career in journalism, perhaps this has been a bit of a reality check. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website, takshashila.org.in.